Let's begin. And we also thank God continually because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same thing those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to all men. In their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. And you may be seated. I'll ask Mike, our elder, to come and pray over the Word.
Father, I just come before you and I thank you first and foremost for who you are and what you mean to us, Lord. And secondly, I got to thank you for our pastor, Pastor Tom, Lord. I ask that you speak through him like you do every week. I thank you for his diligence. I thank you for his courage to search the Scriptures and to bring it to us each week. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would fill him to the core, Lord, and allow him to give us what you have for us, and that Father, not only that he would speak with boldness, but that you would just give us the ability to receive it, Lord. For we know that all things are supernatural in this realm, Lord, in this word that Pastor Tom is about ready to bring us, Lord. I ask that you would just give us the ability through your Spirit to see and to hear and then to apply. In Jesus' name, amen.
Set your phones on stun. I heard one go off a little earlier, so that is a perfect reminder to please set your phones on silence. It is most embarrassing for you when your phone goes off and everybody's looking at you. Amen? That wasn't even planned. Turn with me, if you haven't already, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in your bulletin is an outline that will go along with the sermon. And the PowerPoint presentation, if you find that helpful. I appreciate your patience and your attention to the Word. We're running just a little bit late today. But when we celebrate communion, especially as our church continues to grow, it takes a little bit longer. And we can give the Lord a few extra minutes once a week. Amen? Amen. I won't go long. No? So this morning I want to talk about receiving the Word of God. How many here use directions when you get something and you have to assemble it or something you have to fix, you get a new product, and how many of you use directions? How many of you don't? Yeah, most of you, right. You're like me. Well, a couple years back, I wanted to add some additional memory to my laptop. So I ordered some memory online, and it came, and of course it had directions with it, and I just proceeded to put those aside, and I said, oh, this is easy, I'm sure this, you know, little laptop, I can figure it out, no problem. So I began to take the laptop apart, and, you know, there's some covers on it that pop on, I pop those covers off, and there's screws for the monitor, which that easily came off. And some other pieces that were covering the guts, so I took those off. I had it all apart. And, you know, I'm looking for where these little sticks, really what they are, really flat bones, where do they go? And I'm looking, and it's like, and I got this thing in like 20 pieces. It's, you know, I put a towel, I don't know if Brenda remembers it, but I put a towel on the dining table and had all these parts laid out all over. And honestly, I was like, I didn't know what I was doing. So, I hate to admit it, but I turned over, grabbed the directions, and started reading them. And lo and behold, I had no idea what I was doing. Because all you had to do was turn the computer over, and on the back was one little cover, you remove two screws, you pop the old memory stick out, you pop the new memory stick in, and you're done. You know. So, you would think that we would learn from those kind of experiences to read the directions. But we don't. We often don't. So it is with the Scriptures. The Scriptures have been called the basic instructions for life. When you don't have the Scriptures, when you don't know the Scriptures, when you don't embrace the Scriptures in your life, then life can be very complex. Life can be confusing, chaotic. Life doesn't work very well when you don't have God's Word, when you don't embrace it in your life. But when you read, understand, and obey the Scriptures, life becomes much simpler. It really does. Life becomes much simpler. The way God says that your life should be actually works out. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not difficult things to overcome. But God actually addresses that in the Word. But the way that God says your life should work actually works. It's like following those directions. We watched a short video in Sunday school this morning, and the pastor who was giving the testimony was a former NFL player, and he played on the Colts. Isn't that what he said, that he played on the Colts? And he called the Bible, he likened the Bible to a playbook. And he said this, a playbook like for football. Many of you know what a playbook is. It's the book of plays. You have to learn those plays. You see, if you read the playbook and you learn the playbook and you embrace those plays, then you know how to run the plays. And then you know how to play the game. And you will help yourself and your teammates to win the game. Now again, in the Christian life, to play the game and win the game means that you are faithful. That despite what happens, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, you're faithful. That's what playing and winning the game means. And so, as we look at this passage here this morning in 1 Thessalonians 2, we see that just like these Thessalonian believers, the main point is this, that we must receive the Scriptures as the inspired, authoritative, inerrant Word of God that they are. And when we do that, we will be transformed into imitators of Christ, Christ's followers. We will be transformed more and more as Christ's followers. Now, when it says here, the Word of God, what does that mean? Let's define that. The Word of God. This very word, means this. It is a word that is uttered forth by a living person, a living being. And it embodies a thought or an idea. And so when God, who is a living person, He is not like us, He is a divine person, when God utters a word, that word embodies a thought from His mind. And that thought is for us. Think about it for a minute. You know, God doesn't really need to know anything. I mean, He's God, right? And so what He gives us in His Word, He's not doing it for His benefit. He's doing it for our benefit. He's giving us the basic instructions for life, right here. He's giving it for you and for me, for our benefit, so that we can embrace it, follow it, and be successful in our lives as Christians. Become more and more Christ followers. Now, here's what Yahweh, the word Yahweh means God, the covenant God, the God who made a covenant agreement through Abraham, with Abraham. Now He's made a covenant with us through Christ. But here's what God says about His own Word. He says this in Isaiah 55, and it's not in your outline. You can jot down the reference, but He says this, as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and they don't go back up into heaven, they don't return to it without watering the earth and causing it to bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower, bread for the eater. See, so just to give you the context there, the rain and the snow come and they melt, just like we had that rain yesterday, right? And some of the time it was kind of turning into sleet. That rain comes down. What does it do? It waters the earth and allows the plants to grow. Those plants then produce seeds. The seeds produce food for us. And the rain accomplishes its purpose. So it is with my word, says the Lord. My word that goes out of my mouth. See it? It's spoken out of the living Lord. The word that goes out of my mouth does not return to the earth empty, does not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire it to and achieve its purpose for which I sent it. So the Lord is saying, I'm sending my word out of my mouth. It will accomplish its purpose. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish its purpose for which I sent it. And that purpose, of course, is for you and for me, that we might grow as Christ followers. Now, one of the first purposes is this, that you come to Jesus Christ. The Word tells us that each one of us, we must personally come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Lord and our Savior. That's like the first step, right? That's the first step in becoming a Christ follower, that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so if you're here this morning, and maybe you've never made that commitment, or, you know, maybe you've been to church at times, maybe all of your life, and maybe you've gone through the motions. Maybe you've gone through the motions of communion. Maybe you've gone through the motions of confirmation. Maybe you've gone through the motions of being an acolyte, or all those different kinds of things that we as humans, you know, kind of put together and we call it, you know, tradition or religion or ritual. Maybe you've done all those things in your life, but you've never really had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in your life. Then all those other things are pretty meaningless. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I was working for an electronics supply company up in Boston. And it was getting near Easter, and it was the season called Lent. And a gentleman came in, and he had ashes on his forehead here. I guess it was Good Friday. Ash Wednesday. See, I'm not from that tradition, so I don't know. So he came in the door. I said, dude, you got something on your head. And he's like, well, yeah, those are ashes. He says, it's Ash Wednesday. I said, well, what's that? He's like, that's the day you put ashes on your head. I said, okay. Why? And he just stared at me. He didn't have a clue. He just did it because his church had that tradition. On Ash Wednesday, you put ashes on your head. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to put ashes on your head, go right ahead. God doesn't really care. Now, if you're doing that, and you know why you're doing that, and you're saying, you know, these ashes are on my forehead because they represent my repentance, you know, for my sins and my devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ because He loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, hey, I don't have a problem with that. You can put anything on your head you want. And if you understand what it's for and you're trying to somehow share that, that's great. But, you know, so often we go through rituals and we don't have a clue what it's about. That's why I take pains to try to explain when we come to communion. That's why I take pains when we often do things that maybe are a little bit ritualistic and try to explain the meaning behind that. So, you need to come to Christ first. It needs to be a personal relationship in your heart where you know Christ as your Savior. And then you continue to receive the Word. That's the first step. You continue to receive the Word, and here's how you know you're receiving the Word as it really is, the Word of God. You're growing. You're becoming more and more like Jesus. You're becoming more and more an imitator of Christ. More and more. More and more a Christ follower. Now, this doesn't mean that we're perfect. If you know me, then you know that's true. Right? I never pretend that I'm perfect. I sin just like all of you. We all sin. I'm not up here on a pedestal. Please don't put me on a pedestal because I will fall off it. Okay? I sin just like everybody else. I need to confess my sins to the Lord like anybody else. But you know that you're embracing God's Word this way when you are growing, when you are becoming more and more a Christ follower. The key is that you are growing. You are growing. That's how you know you are receiving the Word. And you receive the Word this way. You are embracing it. You are obeying it. You are doing what it says. We saw in the video this morning for Sunday school, it says, you learn it, you live it, and you love it. You learn the Word, you live the Word, you love the Word. That's a simple way to remember the emphasis of God's Word, the priority of God's Word in my life. I am to learn the Word, I am to live the Word, and I am to love the Word. Now, if you want to change the order of that a little bit, that's fine, but you remember the priority of the Word that way. Now, all of the Scriptures are proclaimed as God's Word, not just the Old Testament. Let's unpack that for a minute. Number one, as we look at Paul's words here, we see that Paul proclaims the gospel of Christ. He's calling that proclamation about Christ as the Word of God. But furthermore, the subsequent letters, the letters that Paul writes after, are also declared Scripture by Peter. Not just the word of men. Did you ever hear that argument? Oh, the Bible. Well, that's just written by men. That's often the objection that people give to not believe God's Word, to not follow God's Word. Well, that's just written by men. Well, of course it's written by men. God didn't just, you know, boom, cause a miracle and there is Word. Are we all right, guys? We're not sure. The devil's in the microphone. Let's press on. Yes, indeed, men wrote the Bible. But not merely men. Not merely in the sense of God, of men just writing the ideas down. No, it's not merely the word of men. The Gospels and the letters of the New Testament are declared Scripture on par with the Old Testament law, prophets, and writings. Let's look at that. We see it right here in verse 13 of chapter 2. Paul says this, and we also thank God continually because when you received the Word of God, you Thessalonians, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Now we'll come back to that part in just a minute. Why does he make this distinction between the Word of God and the Word of men? Why? Because the Word of men cannot be trusted. Right? The Word of men cannot be trusted. I mean, we are seeing that played out in front of our eyes day after day after day. You have politicians that say thus and so, and then we find out it is not thus and so. We find lawyers that come and defend people, and they say, thus and so, and then we find out it is not thus and so. And it seems like there's a new investigation every day for allegations of fraud, allegations of lying, all kinds of things. The word of men cannot be trusted. Why? Because the word of men is, first of all, finite. It's limited. It's based on the natural. You see, that's first and foremost. Men are limited. Even at our best, we are limited. Then on top of that, the word of men is corrupt. It is self-centered. It is self-motivated. Sometimes it's straight-up lies. You ever hear a person, and most of us encountered somebody like this, where you know whatever they're going to say is a lie? You know people like that? I mean, you can ask them anything. Hey, is it raining outside today? Oh, yeah, it's raining out. Didn't you know it's raining outside today? I mean, what they say is a lie. And there are people like that. You can't trust the word of men. The word of man can be deceitful. The word of man is self-seeking, can be conniving. But the word of God is true. Why? Because God Himself says, I am not a man that I should lie. God is not a man that He would lie. Neither am I the Son of Man that He will change His mind. You ever hear that? Somebody says, you know, see, this is the truth. This is the way it is. This is what I'm going to do. I swear. You know, and you take them at their word. Then you come back to them and they've changed, right? And then what do they say? Oh, I changed my mind. I was going to pay you for the work that you did for me, but I changed my mind and now I'm not going to pay you because I don't feel like it. I incurred that debt with your company. I borrowed that money and I promised on my word that I was going to pay that back, but I've changed my mind. I'm not going to pay that back. Ooh, it got awful quiet in here. We as humans change our mind, and we justify that. We say that that's okay. We can do that. God says, I am not like you. I do not change my mind, and I do not lie. My word is true, and it stands forever. Jesus said this in John 17 about the word. Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. We're living in a day when people are asking, what is truth? Is there a truth? People are questioning authority, and sometimes rightfully so. We see the occupiers there in Wall Street. Now, I don't agree with anything of what they're doing, but I understand the frustration that is behind it in some cases. In some ways, I think we all experience that frustration. We are so sick of lies. We are so sick of people that we have elected to positions of authority and entrusted them with our well-being. We've entrusted them with our taxes. We've entrusted people with our money. And they lie, they defraud, they cheat, and they get rich doing it. So I understand the angst behind that, the frustration behind that. I don't agree with the way they're going about it, but I understand the mindset that's there. Young people especially are questioning authority. Why? Because people with authority today don't have integrity. You know, they lack it. And so, you know, the question, what is authority? What is this authority you're talking about? Because you lack integrity. Your authority is meaningless. And God declares that His Word, what He has said to us in the Scriptures, is true, that it will not change, that it is inspired, that it is uttered by His mouth, it is authoritative, and it is inerrant. It is the Word of God. It is spoken to us for our benefit, and we do well when we live by it. Let's see how this plays out. We saw, every week that we've looked at this, we've seen how Paul came to the Thessalonians and he preached to them. We need to look at it one more time. So Acts chapter 17, verses 2 through 3. And Jay Johns will read that for us.
As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he said.
So he's actually preaching to them from the Scriptures, meaning the Old Testament. That's all they had at that point, right? Only the Old Testament. And he's proclaiming from that Christ had to suffer and risen from the dead. I would imagine he probably spoke some from Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant. Probably spoke from Psalm 22, that my righteous one will not see decay, but he will be raised to life, and so on and so forth. And now, he's proclaiming, listen, he's not suggesting that this is a good idea. He's not suggesting that this is going to be one more good religion among the many. No, no, no. He's proclaiming to you that this Jesus is the Christ. Case closed. You either accept it truly, as the Word of God, it is true, or you don't accept it. There's no middle ground. He's proclaiming that this Christ, Jesus is the Christ. And so back in Thessalonians, Paul describes these Thessalonians as that they received what he preached to them based on and supported by the Old Testament Scriptures. They receive that as the Word of God. They receive it as truth. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is received as the Word of God just as much as the Old Testament. It is the authoritative truth of God. Now, most of us have come to that place of agreeing with that, accepting and receiving that, right? We've come to Christ. We're now on this journey, this walk of becoming Christ followers. Well, there's more to it. There's more to it. Now, we have the letters. Paul writes many, many, many letters to all the various churches. We have the book of Acts, written by Dr. Luke, the good Dr. Luke. We have the Gospels. We have the Apocalypse, Revelation, the heavy-duty book, right? We have all these books in the New Testament. What are we to do with them? They are as much the Word of God as the Old Testament. How do we know that? Because Peter declares it so. 2 Peter 3, verses 14 through 16. Charlene Flower will read that for us.
So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction.
So Peter's saying the letters that Paul is writing are just like the other scriptures. He's putting them on par with all of the scriptures. And that's why in the New Testament, we have those letters. We have the letters of John. We have James's letter. We have the letter of Hebrews. We have the book of Acts. All those books are collected into the New Testament, which we now call the Word of God. Does that make sense? And we are to study and learn and embrace all of the Word of God. One more. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. Jan Nelson. Jan Nelson is going to read that for us.
All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Could you go back to verse 16, Jen? All Scripture, now. Not just the Old Testament, all Scripture. The Old Testament, the Gospels, the letters, Revelation, all of this is now inspired of God, and I want to get to that word in just a minute. It's God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We don't have time to go through every one of those words, but that kind of covers the whole gamut of what you and I need in our lives to be Christ followers. Right? This word, inspired, actually in NIV it's translated God-breathed, and here's why. When you hear the word inspired anymore today, it's a misused, overused word. You know, someone will paint a mural. Oh, that's inspired. And in a sense, we understand what they're saying. It's beautiful, right? But that's not the word inspired, what the word inspired means. Inspired means literally God breathed. Breathed forth from His mouth. And that's how He describes God's Word. The Bible is God's Word. It is inspired. It has been breathed forth from the mouth of God. And this is what the claim the Bible makes for itself. If anyone says to you, listen, here's why you need to know this. You still with me? Say amen. I know the hour's getting late. I know you got the roast in the oven and all that kind of stuff. This is why you need to know this. Because, listen, especially if you're in school, if you're going off into college, you're going to be challenged about your faith and about your belief in God's Word. You're going to say, oh, I believe in, you know, the Bible. I believe God's Word. And people are going to say, why? It's just a bunch of writings of men. And you need to know that scripture where it says all scripture is inspired of God. All scripture. And you see, if you don't know that, you're going to stand there with your mouth open and not be able to answer because you don't know that scripture. The scripture itself declares that it is inspired. It is authoritative. It's the infallible Word of God. Now, I was going to talk about the Old Testament and New Testament canon. Encourage you, all you have to do is go online, go to Bible.org or any other good Christian site, and it'll talk about the Old Testament canon, when it was formed. It was complete, you know, 180 B.C., when the Septuagint was the Bible was translated into the Greek. New Testament canon was completed probably by the end of the first century. The writing of Revelation was the last book of the New Testament that was accepted. It had to be written by an apostle or a close associate of the apostle. That was the test of authenticity. That's what I was going to do in about 5 minutes. I did in half a minute, hopefully. Number two, the test of whether something is inspired. Look, I could come to you and I could say, hey, I wrote this paper. This paper is inspired. This paper is authoritative. This paper is inerrant. And how would you know? Well, first of all, who's it written by? Okay, if it's written by Tom, then you get the big, not so. If it's written by God, then it is inspired. But what's the test? The test is that which God has written is true and it comes to pass. If it's prophecy, it comes to pass. But watch this. If it says it will do something, then it actually does it. It actually does it. And that's what Paul is saying. Do you see it? He's saying, you Thessalonians, you received the Word as the Word of God, and therefore you became imitators. That's what we read just a couple of minutes ago, right? Verse 14. You became imitators of Christ. Here's how it worked. They became imitators of Paul. Paul says, I'm an imitator of Christ, follow me. And so, in a sense, they became imitators of Christ. Even in suffering. Even in suffering. God's Word worked. I love when people try to disprove the Bible. I love when people try to disprove the faith. Lee Strobel is one of those people. How many of you have ever heard of Lee Strobel? Lee Strobel, years ago, Lee Strobel was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He worked there for years. He was also the head legal editor. He has a law degree. He's a smart guy. I don't think I want to meet him because I would feel foolish in his presence. Very smart guy. And he set out, he got to this point, he said, I am so sick of these Christians. Always witnessing to me. Always spouting off the Bible to me. He said, I'm sick of it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to disprove their Bible. I'm going to set out and I'm going to disprove their Bible, show their Bible's false. This whole Christianity thing is false. I'm going to show that it's just a bunch of nonsense. And so he started his journey. He said, I'm setting out to do this. Guess what happens? As he reads the Word, as he investigates the surroundings and the writings of the Word, the eyewitness accounts, he begins to be convinced of the truth of the Word. And before long, he becomes a Christ follower. And now, he's written several books, many books, probably the most famous being known as The Case for Christ. He took all his research and said, guys, guess what? I set out to disprove it. But as I went through, I found that it's true. So he wrote in a book called The Case for Christ. We've studied it here at this church, and it's an awesome book. If you want to learn the background and the basis and the supporting evidence for your faith, it's a great book to read. And there's many people like that. When they set out to disprove the Scripture, they actually become believers because the Scripture is true. It is the Word of God, and it accomplishes what He says it will. Now, it's the Word that transforms us. It's the Word that transforms us. You know, it's kind of like knowing the play. Let's say you go out on that football team, you go out on the field, and you don't know the play. Right? It comes time, they got the hike, and the quarterback's expecting you to be out in left field, and you're standing there about two or three steps from where you were, and the quarterback's looking, and he's looking, and you're standing there, and you're like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Why? Because you don't know the play. Christians, I'm telling you, I get that sense sometimes that in our lives, we don't know the play. We're standing around in a daze because we don't know the word. We've not taken the time to learn the playbook. And God takes the word. It's the raw material. The Holy Spirit was within us. And understand, I'm not talking about performance here. We know the Holy Spirit is within us. When we come to Christ, receive Him by faith, the Holy Spirit was in us. That doesn't change. It's not based on our performance. But He needs raw material, the truth, to transform you and me. How do we know that? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, by the mercies of God, I urge you, offer yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship, and be transformed, how? By the what? The renewing of your mind. The Holy Spirit takes the truth of God's Word and renews your mind. I want to tell you something. Something very, very important. You ready? Your opinion doesn't count. My opinion doesn't count. What you think and what I think does not count. It's only when my thought lines up with the truth of God's Word that I have finally got it together. My mind must be renewed into the truth of God's Word. And when that happens, just like knowing that play out of the playbook, then I'm able to run the play. I'm able to do well in my life. I'm able to live this Christian life out and live it out well. I said in Sunday school class, and I say it again, we Christians, I think we often give lip service to God's Word. Oh yes, I believe in God's Word. I believe it's the inspired, authoritative Word of God. But how much time do we give it? What priority do we give it in our lives? Are we reading it? Are we studying it? And you see, Paul's saying about the Thessalonians, he says, you're my crown. You're my glory. I'm going to lay the crown of you, so to speak, at Jesus' feet when He comes because you have received the Word. You've embraced the Word so that you're now being transformed. You're becoming imitators of Christ. Can Paul say that about you and me? Can he say that you're receiving God's Word and because of that you're becoming more and more like Jesus? You see, the Word of God, to use the Transformer illustration, analogy, you know, in the second Transformers movie, it was what? That they were trying to steal. It was the AllSpark, right? No? I got it wrong? You just dissed me, man. Isn't that what they were after, the AllSpark? Because in the AllSpark it had all the information, all the foundation for building their robots. And that's what God's Word is. It's, if you pardon the analogy, it's the AllSpark. It has everything that we need for life and godliness to live this life, to become more and more like Christ followers. That's what it is. And we need to give ourselves to it. Number three, and we'll close with this. It is the Word that transforms us, but we do have a responsibility. We have to embrace the Word and then do what it says. And when we do that, when we embrace the Word and do what it says, then we're transformed. It does not happen in a vacuum. You know, I've said this before, I wish that we could just like put this under our pillow at night. Wouldn't that be great? Put that under your pillow at night and somehow it would just kind of like osmosis into your head. I told you about my friend that he was convinced that if he played the Bible, you know, the Bible on tape, because this is years ago. You all know what a tape is, right? Cassette tape. Some of you might still have them. He would play those when he was sleeping. They would be playing softly next to his bed, and he just swore that he was getting the Word of God into his subconscious while I was playing while he was asleep at night. The funny thing is, whenever I asked him a question about any of it, he couldn't remember. I don't know if it helped him or not, but hey, that's not a bad way to sleep, having the Word spoken to you the whole night. That's pretty good. I don't think that's going to cause you to memorize it more. I could be wrong. I don't know. But if we don't embrace it, if we don't read it, if we don't study it, if we don't learn it and love it and live it, we won't grow. We won't be transformed. The Thessalonians received the Word of God. They embraced it. They accepted it as the true authoritative Word. And, watch this, they did what it said. They obeyed it. And the indwelling Holy Spirit took that truth of the Word and renewed their minds. And He will do the same for you and me. This is why we emphasize this so much here. I know, Pastor Tom, you're beating the same old drum. You need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word. It's so important. Let me give you a final illustration. You go to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, does the blood tests and the workup and all that. He says, guess what? You're anemic. And here's what you need. You need some vitamin D to help your blood not to be anemic. And you get that prescription of vitamin D or off the shelf, and you need to take that vitamin D every day. So you go to the store, and you have every intention of taking your vitamin D, and you buy it, you take it home, and you pop it on the counter. And guess what? You don't take it. You say, oh man, I forgot to take it today. I'll take it tomorrow. So you get up the next day, and you come down, and you have your breakfast, and there's the bottle sitting there, and you look at it. You look at it, you say, I'll get it a little bit later. The day goes on, and you come back, and I'll get it tomorrow. And you don't take your vitamin D. And yet you expect that you're not going to be anemic anymore. Somehow, magically, that vitamin D is going to fix you, but you're not taking it. How's that going to work? Well, that's the way it is with us and the Word of God. How many times have I heard people say, I really need to grow more in my faith. I need to grow spiritually. You know what my first question is? That's great. Okay, are you reading the Word? Are you spending some time in devotions each day? With the men, we just went through a focus on how to do that. You know, you can do the Acts method, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication each day. Or you can do the hand illustration. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can take time to get into the Word, to get the vitamins for your spiritual soul that is malnourished for you and for me. To get the playbook. To understand it. And you see, it's so important that you do it every day. That's why we have the men's Bible studies on Tuesday night. That's why we have the ladies' Bible studies on Tuesday night. That's why we have the ladies' Bible study on Tuesday morning. That's why we have care groups. All of these things to encourage us to get into God's Word. Listen, I know that it's hard. And by the way, you know, don't get up in the morning and, you know, turn to the book of Numbers. And David had 15,000 men from the tribe of Reuben. I mean, it's God's inspired Word just as much, but that's not what you need right now. You need a slice of toast and some coffee, right? That's your breakfast of the Word. So read something from the Psalms and read something from the Gospel of John if you're just starting out, right? That's just a little side note. But we need to be into the Word every day. Read the Word. Every day. Read the Word. Every day. Read the Word. Learn it. Love it. And live it. And when we do that, we will become transformed by the power of the Spirit into Christ's followers more and more. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, You said Your Word is settled in heaven and earth. It will not change. It is truth. The earth will pass away, but Your Word will never pass away. Help us, Lord, to have a hunger and a desire for your word. Lord, I thank you for that person that came to me just recently. He said, Pastor Tom, I'm having a hard time understanding the word. Is there someone here that can help me? Because Lord, so often we just give up. We give in so easily. When things get hard, we don't understand, so we just give up. Lord, help us in our commitment to your word, to be devoted to your word, to receive it, to eat of it every day. Lord, I'm praying that for me as well. That we will hunger for your word. And Lord, you will transform us more and more to the image of Christ. If you're here today and you know God is speaking to you, I want you, right where you are, in the quietness of your heart, I want you to make a commitment. Don't walk away from this without making a commitment to the Lord. Make that commitment. Say, Lord, I'm going to study, I'm going to learn, and live your word. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make that commitment. Don't leave here without making that commitment to the Lord. Respond to Him as the Spirit is speaking to you. Father, thank you for the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.